He is the president, the CEO. What a job he does as far as the Long Island Association, a.k.a. LIA, also a Suffolk MTA board representative. And it's great to have him. Mr. Law, Kevin, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Jay. How are you? Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. All well, health-wise and everything else, I hope.
My immediate family as well. Unfortunately, my wife's mother and my son's grandmother passed away from the COVID virus about 4 weeks ago, and that was very sad.
Very sorry to hear that. And, the casualties of war, so to speak, that's what's been happening here.
Yeah, exactly.
Kevin... Yeah. Kevin, give me thoughts. Reopening phase one finally occurring. It happened yesterday in the island. What's the mindset? What do you think?
Well, it's certainly good news. Step in the right direction. People were anxious. It is going to be a nice psychological boost because I think people finally feel there's light at the end of the tunnel. Because, Jay, I'm hearing horror stories every day from small businesses who are not just fearful but terrified that, they're not sure they're going to be able to make it, come back. And, we need to give them hope and get them up and running as soon as possible because we need them and they need to be open in order to survive.
No question. We got reports yesterday. Consumers were not out there in droves. Businesses did open. It was somewhat disappointing from the word on the street. But you gather the consumer confidence level. We'll get to that in a second. As you look at phase one happening on the 26th of May, Kevin, listen, I've been an advocate as far as pushing it a little bit more. I would like to have seen this happen a bit sooner. Very concerned. The PPE is not getting it done. I thought you needed a separate stimulus as far as small businesses only and should have been put in play, kind of a revolving door. They're going to need it. Could we have done this a bit sooner if we had a cautious, more methodical approach? Safety, the key. But could we have gotten it done a bit sooner in your mind?
Well, certainly everybody would have liked to have opened sooner. The way the state has set things up is every region of the state had to meet certain healthcare metrics in order to enter into phase one. And then once we get into phase one, there's going to be three additional phases. And each phase, additional businesses will be allowed to reopen as long as the healthcare metrics aren't going up. You could debate whether things should have been done earlier, sooner, or whether businesses could have been opened up sooner. But you know what, Jay, that's looking back. We are where we are. The good news is we now are in phase one. Hopefully 2 weeks from today, we'll enter into phase two, where you'll see a lot more activity. Phase one is limited with just the construction and manufacturing and some low uses like fishing and forestry and some agriculture. Phase two, you're going to see most of the offices open, all the commercial offices. You're going to see more retail open. And what I'm hoping for, and some of the phone calls and texts and emails I get every day, and they are in the hundreds, up to 500 a day, there's a couple of businesses that people, I get more requests that we should open them up immediately, and that is, we need to have barbershops and hair salons open. Everybody wants a haircut. Dental offices, they want to get their teeth cleaned and fixed. Brokers, real estate brokers, want to get back to work. Real estate is a big part of our business. And the biggest question I get all the time is, why not allow more outdoor dining? And to me, that makes sense. We need to help our restaurants and bars. The takeout is just not cutting it in terms of helping them with their, making their margins. And if we could allow more outdoor dining, some municipalities are allowing dining onto the sidewalk to give them more space to comply with social distancing. And those are things we should be supportive of, and hopefully those things will make it into phase two. I know I'm lobbying. The governor has put me on one of these called regional control rooms. Those are some of the things I've been advocating for.
That's a good thing. And listen, we just had Sasha Adriano. He heads a coalition, Nassau, Suffolk County, outdoor dining and everything else, you know, pretty much stated the same what you're saying, Kevin. But, you know, it's about trying to get people underway. And listen, I'm not advocating large gatherings by any means. I'm not advocating for our senior citizens to be walking all along main streets of Long Island. But what I am advocating is for livelihoods to be restored. And I thought you could do it safely. You know, everybody can wear the masks, distance, capacity restrictions. You know, I thought you could do it safely. I would have loved to have seen this way before even Memorial Day, the holiday weekend, where we know people come out in droves as far as the Hamptons. I think about those businesses shuttered along Main Street. So, you know, there's a lot of concern on my end. But as you said, you can't think of the past, only the future, right?
Yeah, it's unfortunate, and you're right. I hear there's some arbitrariness to a lot of the rules and regulations in terms of who could open, who's essential, who's not. The important thing now is all the health care indicators are, and the metrics are, all in the right direction, and we're beginning to reopen. And hopefully in 2 weeks we'll enter into phase two, and then in 4 weeks there's probably got to be 2 weeks in between each phase, and hopefully in 4 weeks all the bars and restaurants will open as well. And but you made a very good point, Jay. Most Long Islanders, you know, there's a couple of knuckleheads out there, but most Long Islanders, they get it. They want to be safe, and for the small business owners, they want to protect their employees, and they want to protect their customers. They, you know, we need to trust them that they'll do the right thing, because you said another key word before, too, and it's confidence. People aren't going to have confidence to go back to work unless they think their place of work is safe, and people aren't going to want to go into shops and other retail places if they don't think the store or the establishment is safe. And business owners get that. So they're going to take the right steps. They're going to try to protect their employees. They're going to protect their customers. And that will increase confidence. And once we increase confidence, then you're going to start seeing people go out.
No question. Kevin Law is with us, president, CEO, LIA, board rep as well. We get into the MTA stuff in a couple of minutes. To me, it's about confidence, consumer-wise. You need that consumer confidence. We know the numbers in April, what was it, 16.4% or whatever it was. But in essence, you need those folks to go out and spend. They don't have any money yet. But, you know, that's another issue. But in essence, you know, I think a lot of people still are in fear. And I think the end all is the vaccine, but that's a while from now. But we must have that consumer confidence if we're going to stimulate this economy in the right way. And that is a key factor, Mr. Law.
It certainly is. If Long Island was its own state or its own country, Nassau and Suffolk counties, our gross domestic product is about $170 billion every year. About 70% of that, Jay, is retail and consumer spending. Long Islanders tend to make more money than the rest of the country, and then they spend it. And spending it is what keeps our shops and our stores and our bars and our restaurants alive and going. But just as importantly, you know, to those fine businesses, it creates sales tax for our county government as well as our state. The state and the county split it. And Nassau and Suffolk County, they rely primarily on sales tax revenues. So they are going to take a major, major hit. They don't have that much in terms of property taxes. Most of the property taxes go to schools and towns and villages and special districts. The counties live on sales tax, and people right now aren't spending. They had been up until the middle of March, but now everything has just dropped. And so that is going to put pressure on them. So we need the confidence and the people spending again, not just to help the businesses, but to keep our county governments alive. And everyone knows our county governments support our, you know, our great cops and law enforcement, as well as our other important healthcare workers.
No question. governor made his way to the White House yesterday. Boy, would you love to have been a fly on the wall for that one. And making a pitch, you know, as far as infrastructure. And let's face it, we know we need it. You know, listen, we've heard crazy numbers, $61 billion. I don't think that'll happen as far as what New York State would want. We heard from the city yesterday a little bit more as far as, you know, what they had originally projected. Was it $9 billion or so? I think the number is de Blasio threw out there. We know the states need it. Where do you think we will end up? Listen, president we know is a New York guy. He could look like a hero here to many. This is an election year. Let's not forget that as well. That is going to play into the Trump mindset, I would think. Where do you think is the end all as far as a number? How much aid will the federal government help the state of New York when it comes to push and shove here?
Well, I think we need to separate two different issues. One is the shortfalls New York State is facing budgetarily, and then the governor's request on infrastructure. Let's take the first one. In terms of state revenues, we just discussed county revenues. They get most of their money from sales tax. The state gets most of their money from state income taxes, as well as sales tax. And so people aren't working. People aren't making the money they were making. And so personal income taxes are way down in New York State. Similarly, the state collects half of the sales tax for the same reason the counties are going to hemorrhage. The state is going to hemorrhage with the sales tax. So the state has a huge hole in terms of revenues. And so in order, you know, we need the federal government to help, you know, out both the state as well as our local governments. Some, like Mitch McConnell, are calling that a bailout. It's not a bailout, Jay. You know, New Yorkers send $30 billion more to Washington every year than we get back. We help fund the rest of the country. And most of that money, Jay, comes from New York City and Long Island. Long Island makes up one-third of that deficit. The same thing to Albany. In terms of the income revenues that go to Albany, most of that comes from New York City and Long Islanders. We subsidize the rest of the state. Upstate tends to think that they subsidize downstate. That is so far from the truth. And likewise, New Yorkers help subsidize the rest of the country. So, and we do that every year. So we're asking, and the governor's asking for some help now, because if the state doesn't get more revenues, one of the most important things they fund are our schools, K through 12, as well as our SUNY and community colleges. If they have to cut back on those, you know, you could see property taxes, which are already some of the highest in the country, skyrocket. And that's the last thing anybody needs, small businesses and homeowners, to see their property taxes increase because state revenues have, you know, drastically decreased. So that's the one pitch he made. The second pitch is, this is a great time now to invest in infrastructure, mega projects, big projects. And where I thought the president made a mistake, you know, 3 years ago when he first took office, he went in there and talked about he was going to be the guy, the president who invested in infrastructure, because the last three presidents said they were going to and never did. And being a builder, I thought he would do that. And it would have, you know, I think it would have really have been a smart idea then, and I think it's a smart idea now for the country to invest in major infrastructure projects that will put thousands of New Yorkers and Long Islanders to work. And so knowing the governor was going down there yesterday, the LIA, we put out a list of top 10 projects on Long Island that should be funded as part of that infrastructure, and a lot of your listeners would be supportive of that list, which includes the disastrous Oakdale merge traffic jam every day that people have to sit in for hours back and forth to work, electrification of the Long Island Railroad out to Riverhead and Patchogue and Port Jefferson, sewers in some of our downtowns to help our bars and restaurants expand in those downtowns, and they're limited in how they could without sewers. And, you know, those are just some of the projects we highlighted that would be good projects for the federal and the state government to invest in, especially as we try to rebuild our economy from this disastrous pandemic.
Man, listen, all great points. And, you know, by the way, and I said this way back, Mitch McConnell was completely out of line. It was almost as if he was taking a couple of swigs of that Kentucky moonshine before he made those statements about blue state mentality and everything else. I don't know where he's coming from. Governor put it and stated it quite well, I thought, that if we exceed the state far and beyond $30 billion. And where is McConnell's state? Of Kentucky, third at the bottom, by the way. So it kind of gives you an idea how New York puts into the antes up all the time, let's put it that way, and doesn't get enough back. So I thought that was a key point as well. I tell you, McConnell way out of line, though, Kevin.
Yeah, no, he was. And you know what? I think we need to put the partisanship aside. Republicans and Democrats came together after 9/11 to help New York. And, you know, I think they need to do it again because especially our metropolitan region, we primarily support Albany and we support Washington more so than most states do. We're not looking for a bailout. We need some help. We're looking for a fair share. And give us a fair shake. It's a wise investment because the return on investment, Jay, is huge because, again, we'll go back to continuing to support the rest of the country as our economy begins to hum again.
No doubt. One more thing before we get into some NTA stuff, and that's the unemployment rate. What was it, about 16% or so, I believe, last month. That's more than quadruple the 3.8 rate reported in March. Before all the effects of the virus hit our region, the island losing a lot of jobs, 262,000, nearly 20% of the region's job market. I've been very critical as far as the benefit is concerned and that tag of 600 plus to the benefit. Again, Kevin, you're making 182, the bottom. Add 600. You're over 3,000 for the month. Who wants to go back to work? You're making more money on the sidelines. So, in essence, what about the concern on your end? The numbers are real. Hopefully, they're going to get a lot better. I get it as far as reopening and everything else with these phases. But right now, you can't help but think where we are as a region.
Well, 2 months ago, Jay, we had the lowest unemployment region, not only in the state, but one of the lowest unemployment regions in the country. We were under 4%, as you said. You know, economists will tell you a 5% unemployment rate is full employment. So we were well above full employment, or, you know, well below, whichever way you want to look at it. And 2 months later, we have unemployment levels at the Great Depression levels. It's remarkable, and you're right, we need to get people back to work. And while I think the intentions were good in terms of providing some additional stimulus to individuals who lost their jobs, we can't give people an incentive to stay home or a disincentive to go to work. That makes no sense. You know, that's what, regimes do in other countries. But, you know, we need, our country has always been based on capitalism. Don't stand in the way of business. Help businesses succeed. That's the way to grow. That's the way to employ people. That's the way to grow our economy. And that's what we need to get back to. Let's stop putting roadblocks in front of businesses and let them do the right thing. They hire. You know, we have 105,000 businesses, Jay, in Nassau and Suffolk County, at least those that are on the books paying taxes, the ones that government knows about. 93,000 of them, so 93,000 of the 105,000 businesses have 20 employees or less. We are a small business economy. And those owners, they're the CEO, they're the CFO, they're the human resource administrator, they're the bookkeeper, and at night they're the janitor. They do everything. Let's stop putting hurdles in front of them, and let's help them get back to work.
Well, listen, I'm in agreement with you. Before we let you go, MTA is receiving what, almost $300 million? I guess that's the installment of its promised federal coronavirus rescue funds, according to the Washington, the president, and everything else. But, you look at these transit agencies, Kevin, like many, many across the United States with these massive shortfalls they're facing. you know, drops in ridership and tax revenue and everything else during this pandemic. We know about the CARES Act passed by Congress. What was it, about $25 billion, I believe, allocated for agencies across the country. Now, you look at the MTA, and that accounts for almost 40% of nationwide transit ridership. They've been promised $4 billion almost of the pot here. Where do you think? Where do we end up when it's all said and done? We have had Philip Eng on a lot, came on yesterday, feeling good about things. Pat Foy, the chair of the MTA, you know, he's feeling pretty good, and hopefully, you know, he can kind of boost ridership as more people have that confidence again, as we call it. Where are you at with the funding portion of it as far as the MTA and everything else?
It has to happen. In fact, the $3 billion and the $4 billion are not even enough. The MTA is hemorrhaging. Ridership is down 95% on the Long Island Railroad, 97% on the Metro North Railroads, and about 75% on the subways and buses. And with, also, remember, the MTA makes money from tolls on the bridges. People haven't been driving. So those revenues aren't coming in because nobody's going over the bridges and the tunnels. Not nobody, but the, you know, the rates are like 75% down. And so the MTA needs those revenues. And for the same reasons I mentioned the other, you know, a few minutes ago, the MTA region, you know, if you look at the whole MTA region with people coming in from Connecticut, New Jersey, Rockland, Nassau, and Suffolk, if you look at a circle around that Manhattan and that whole area, that area is the area that generates more revenues to the federal government in terms of income taxes than any other region of the country. And yes, it's the largest mass transportation system in the country, but we're also the most important economic engine in the country. And so for the federal government to help the MTA out now is a good investment, because the return on investment, Washington needs this metropolitan region to work because they know they rely on us for the revenues historically. So help us out today. It'll pay dividends tomorrow.
With you lockstep. Here's my biggest fear in all of this, Kevin, and that's the commuter, because you know they are going to be the ones who will feel the brunt of this, you know, with the hikes and everything else that they get every couple of years. There's just never enough money as far as the MTA is concerned to help and fix. You know, I'm just worried about the commuter, the consumer again.
We need to protect the commuter. The last thing that could happen is to try to increase fares on the commuters who are already paying the highest commutation fares in the country, because the railroad, the MTA, we need to attract riders back, and it goes to the confidence level. People are going to be very hesitant to get on trains and subways and buses, and until they come back, the revenues are going to continue to be a shortfall. And one sure way of delaying the comeback of the commuter is trying to put any burden, any additional burdens on them. So that should be a do not go stop sign, for us, to do anything negatively to help or to hurt the commuter. We need to help the commuter. We need them back because the system relies on the revenues in order to survive. So I'm with you, Jay.
Hey, listen, I'm hoping everybody is thinking on that same track, no pun intended, but it's a wait-and-see approach. Cannot thank you enough, sir, as always. Loved having you. Well, hopefully we'll speak soon again. How's that?
Thank you, Jay. Happy to do that, and stay safe, and I wish you and all your listeners a happy summer. There is hope, and there is light at the end of the tunnel, and we will salvage a good part of the summer. I'm sure of that.
No question. No question about it. You stay well, and again, condolences to the family from all of us.
Thank you, Jay. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.